All right. Welcome in to Toilets, Two Titles. This is episode number 21. This is week number 4. And we are rolling. All three of us are here this evening. With me tonight on my left-hand side is Justin Stevens at JustinFF underscore Justin. How are you?
Wonderful. We were just talking a little bit about it. We got to had some tennis tonight, football tomorrow, tennis the next night. It's we're rolling. It's going to be a pretty busy week for us. So that's my built-in excuse for when my teams crash this weekend.
Busy dad week. Going from one busy dad week to another busy new dad coming up down the corner. That's Nate underscore Dirt 19 on Twitter. Nate, how are you enjoying sleep right now, man?
Pretty well. You know, I don't usually get a lot of sleep anyways. Just, I mean, I like to go to bed early, but I wake up early for work and, you know, all hours of the night, whatever. But yeah, it's going to be a fun transition. We're looking forward to it. You know, we don't know, could be still this week, but you know, if it comes to Friday morning, we're getting induced and we're gonna have a little baby boy on our hands. So
yep. Right. Yeah. little Finn is going to be he's gonna join the team. He's yep. gonna join the team, and we can't wait for him to be here. Who knows, maybe you're gonna get yanked off the set this evening.
Make it happen right now.
Yeah and that would be pretty spectacular. We would love, and then we'd have to get updates from you.
Yeah,
along the way. Your wife would love that. You know, oh, yeah. She'd be ready to give birth, and you'd be calling us up, hopping on live to give betting advice to yeah. to the 100 viewers we have. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Well, yeah, like I said, you can find Nate on Twitter at Nate underscore Dirt 19. You can find me on there at Coach Sheps, and you can find the show at Toilets Two Titles. To listen to the show, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Podbean, Periscope. And if you want any of those links, feel free to reach out to us on the Twitter handles we dropped earlier. You know, if you're watching us on YouTube, but you want to find our Apple Podcasts link, we always share them, you know, throughout the week. I think our pinned tweet is either the Podbean or Apple Podcasts link, but we can, we'll be more than happy to share that with you. Also, we'll share our podcast with you, but we hope that you don't mind sharing a few good words to throw us a Apple review. That would, you know, that just helps the algorithm to get us found for people who are searching for a fantasy football discussion. You give us a review, and that, I guess, pushes us closer to the top. So when people do hit the search bar and look fantasy football or whatever, then it just makes us easier to find. Also on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe button and feel free to comment. There's going to be times throughout the episode where I'm going to ask you to comment going forward on, you know, when we're talking dudes and duds or betting or DFS, you can, you know, comment on your thoughts on all that. But again, hitting the like button, hit the subscribe button just helps us get found, helps us get listeners, get ears to the show. So we really appreciate that. Something that we are doing to give back is a little Fantasy Cares pledge we started, I want to say either at the end of June or the early July. Every 50 followers this season that we get on Twitter will be donating $10 to Fantasy Cares. To a charity of our choosing. We hit 56 times. We just hit it again, I want to say a few days ago. And our next target is 589, and that'll be $70 running total. Currently, we're at 566. So we just hit 50. And we're already 23 away from hitting it again. So we are really starting to climb. And I think that's because we've been very active helping people on game day and leading up to game day. So I think we're getting some followers that way. So we really appreciate it. If it's your first time listening, we hope you enjoy the show. Justin, why don't we discuss Frankenstank real quick? We're all licking our wounds. I 2 weeks in a row, I tanked because I didn't think I was going to win. So basically, I sat my best player. So I've been using some strategy. Michael Thomas being hurt me. I played Shane this week. He kicked my butt early. I thought I had a chance. And then most of my good players played in the second half of the game, like the 4 o'clock game. So I sat them so that they couldn't take them. He took Matt Ryan, but I still got Fitzpatrick, Bridgewater, and now I got Haskins. I think I can make do with them. I play George this week. If I can get a W and pull a player and break to 2-2, I think I'm in good shape. Justin, how are you doing?
Miserable. There's absolutely no opportunity for strategy left for me at this point. I'm just donating my players right and left. I honestly, like, I don't even know. I don't recall if Ben stole a player from me. I think he did, but I'm not really sure why.
Was it Monty? Did you have Montgomery?
Oh, that's right, David Montgomery, yeah. So David Montgomery scored at me a whopping 4.2 this week in this league, and Ben felt that that was the best player on my team. So, yeah, not good at all. I took some risk early on that did not pay off, and so it's. But I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop trying. As a matter of fact, now that I am 0-3 and I have nothing left but Breeze and Tannehill, which most people don't really want to steal because by now the winners already have good quarterbacks. I do have Fuller. I got Naeem Hines, Leonard Fournette. Hopefully we'll bust out. Hopefully. but I've got some pieces. I'm going to start making some package moves to try to get one good piece that might be able to help pull me out of the hole a little bit because hopefully this – I'm going to look at the schedule real quick, actually. I got it pulled up here right now. I face Shane Hallam this week, so that's ooh. Yeah, so
he's loaded.
Yeah, so maybe I'll wait till next week to do all that.
That's the funny thing is, like, you know, there's strategy involved. You know, I've only had one player taken from me and I have two losses. Justin Toe didn't even try taking a guy from me last week because everybody was basically sat, but Shane, right. You know, he got Matt Ryan, which is clearly a good player. But because I took the rest of my guys out, I'm in decent shape, I think, this week. I really haven't lost much. And I still have Michael Thomas, who I took from you, who hopefully will come back soon. Nate, I think you've been doing all right. You're 2-1.
Yeah, it was a rough week for me. Mark Andrews just didn't show up. The rest of the team, pretty decent. MJ beat me by not a whole lot. He had a pick of the litter, though, for my team. You know, like I said, my strategy is I just want as many points as I can, and we're gonna win it or we're gonna not. So he took Mr. Russell Wilson from me, which hurts, and gave me Tua. So yeah, I guess now I'm gonna be rolling with one quarterback this week. Mr. Cam Newton will still be there slinging it around, I hope. And like I said, my team's pretty good, and just was had a rough week, you know. But I said I'm playing Richard this week. I looked at his squad, I think, yesterday, but I don't really remember it. But, you know, it's been a blast. Like I said, it's a fun league. Just, you know, keeps you interested for sure all the time.
Are trades allowed in Frankenstein?
Yeah, sure. I'll effort that while you guys go ahead and keep talking, but I'm pretty sure we can.
Then Nate, I have a solution for you.
Oh, what's that?
I'll give you Fitzpatrick and Haskins for Cam.
So no, now it's not allowed.
All right. Well, you said you gave up Russell Wilson. Wait, were you kidding or are you serious?
No, Russell got taken.
I'm joking.
All right. So it is allowed.
No, Russell got taken from me because I lost.
No, I know, but you got Tua back. So you only have one quarterback, Cam Newton.
Correct.
So I'll trade you Fitzpatrick, who is going to start ahead of Tua, and Haskins. So you have two quarterbacks this week for Cam Newton.
Haskins is going to throw four picks this week, I think.
I mean, or just play one quarterback. Think about it.
Well, that's what I'm doing now, is playing one quarterback with Cam. I think I got more points with Cam than with Fitz has been dealing, though. I don't know.
All right. So that's what I'm saying. So I'll give you Fitz plus. You think about it. Anyway, Justin, I had two dominant quarterbacks play this weekend against you with Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott, and you wiped the floor with me.
Yeah, that was a different league, but yeah. Here's the funny thing about that league, and I've got to bring this up. I have to mention it because it's an IDP league, and I don't know defensive players very well. I've been very open about that since day one. I'm not an IDP guy. Like, I know individual player names, and I can tell you if they're good at actual football, but when it comes to how it translates to fantasy, I'm not good at it just yet. So my strategy all along in every IDP league that I've ever been in the last couple of years has been to not draft any defensive players until the very end, and then just draft enough to fill a starting lineup, And then after that, I just watch the waiver wire every week and see who's scoring points. And those are the guys I go after. And it has seemed to be very successful for me up to this point. Like, I made the playoffs last year in the fictional league. Some of my best teams right now are IDP teams, and I don't even know what I'm doing with them.
I think that's a strategy, you know, to just play the waiver wire. I think that's solid. I don't think I lost a game since like week 7 of last season with this team, and you just kicked my tush. So,
well, part of the strategy too is it allows me a lot more good offensive players,
right?
So that really helps free up my options every week to play matchups and that sort of thing. And plus, I'm a wait on quarterback sort of guy, even in Superflex. And I mean, that actually kind of proved to bode well for me this week, because my two quarterbacks didn't really score very well at all, and I was still able to pull out the win because the rest of my offense is just so stacked.
Yeah, who did you have at quarterback? I had Russ and Dak. You had Minshew and
I'm pulling it up right now.
It wasn't Dak, and it wasn't Russ or Mahomes.
It wasn't Watson or Brady or Haskins, because
Daniel Jones.
So you beat Dak and Russ with Daniel Jones and Gardner Minshew.
They had a combined 18.26, which is less than half of what Russell Wilson got himself.
So I'll see you again.
Of what Dak got by himself.
I'll see you again down the road. I'll be ready. I'm trying to make moves right now. No one's.
Everyone's kind of, because then it's the playoffs.
Yeah. Everyone's been kind of quiet in this league as far as trading goes. My cousin Sean, I reached out to him. He's a Texas State Armadillos. I reached out to Juan, the LA Breakers, even AJ, you know, South Park Cow. So
you said it's a juicy trade and it's not there. So you're just lying to me, I guess.
Oh, I revoked it.
Yeah.
I don't know how I kind of felt like I was
yesterday too.
I get antsy.
Sorry, I'm at work. I can't just be on the phone the whole time.
What was it? Let me see.
You want Nick Chubb and DJ Moore. I know that. Those are like my only guys I got on my team that are worth a damn.
Let me see if I could find transactions here. Hopefully this is gripping audio. Hopefully you guys don't mind listening to some trade offers. So I sent you, Nate, you're the Kilpatrick Mustangs. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Swift, Deontay Johnson, and Courtland Sutton for Nick Chubb and DJ Moore.
No, can't do it. Okay. That's not a bad offer, though, but I can't do it. I'm worried about Swift. He, like, can't get out of the way like some dude that's 48 years old, and uh-huh. Keon Johnson is probably going to be hurt anyways. Like, what are you doing up there?
The reason I held that, though, was because Deontay. I kind of think – I'm scared that Deontay might end up being better than DJ Moore. So that would come back to bite me.
But, I was looking at the team earlier. I was thinking about trying to get Sutton and Deontay Johnson from
me. Sutton, I mean, if someone's out of it, that guy's worth – he's got to be worth something to somebody if they're thinking about next year. But if not, I'll hold on to him. But
he's speaking of at least one good knee.
Yeah. Huh. And the opposite of, Jerry Jeudy hopefully opens things up for him. But let's discuss some injury news heading into this week. Justin, we got a list here. It's not as big as last week, but let's get started with that.
Yeah, it's not as big as last week, but it's still pretty large. We've got Dallas Goedert with a fractured ankle. Last update I read said that it could be several weeks, but not nearly as long as they originally thought, because a lot of times, you know, sprains or really badly fractured ankles can be quite a while. But in this case, they're thinking just a few weeks, maybe up to 6 weeks. Last I read, DeSean Jackson, his annual hamstring is back, so I'm just kind of surprised.
Why do people even draft him?
What's that?
Guys, why do people even waste their time drafting him? I've never had him on a
week 1 or 2. He does really well usually.
No.
So then Russell Gage was a big hit to me personally in several leagues. He went down with a concussion before he even really got 3 points. Same with Deontay Johnson. Both of these guys are now in the concussion protocol. Obviously, we hope they get back into the action. You hate to see young guys especially get concussions like that this early in their careers, because, man, that stuff, it can come back to haunt them later on. So, but obviously hoping for the best with all these guys. But Bryan Edwards, ankle sprain, that wide receiving core is already depleted. And I feel bad for Carr because, I mean, he already kind of struggles as it is, and now he doesn't really have much of a wide receiving core. So, John Brown, he left early with a calf injury. I haven't gotten an update on that just yet. The last I tried to look, all it really said was that he left with a calf injury, and he never – I don't think he ever even came back into the game. So, Tariq Cohen, we're going to touch a little bit more on later on, but he's out for the season with an ACL injury. Jerick McKinnon, obviously – it's another year, so Jerick McKinnon's going to get hurt. He was not in on the final drive for the 49ers, and it was kind of – we were kind of wondering what had happened. But there was a rib injury, still vague on how long he might be out. Chris Godwin, hamstring, another one that hurt me in a few leagues. And then, of course, Chris Carson with the first-degree knee sprain from Shep's Cowboys – defensive tackle, Tristan Hill with that alligator roll, man. I don't know. That was a little rough, but,
man, we could barely get that guy to give us any effort last year. Now he's going too hard. So it's last year that dude rode the bench, was a second round pick, could care less. And now this year he's out there getting so upset that he's losing. He's twisting guys' ankles off. So,
yeah, you hate to see that, but I mean, but he is a good player. Like, if you watch him, he definitely has the fire now. So
watch his film from last year. It was terrible.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not denying it. Oh, so Jordan Reed is on IR now.
Yeah, yeah. Jordan Reed to the IR with a knee injury. So that's because when you said it's another year for McKinnon and right. another injury, yeah. it just made me realize we were missing Jordan Reed. It's another year for him as well and yeah. another injury.
I didn't even put Reed on the list because when I read earlier today when I was doing the show note there, it said that both of his injuries seemed to be kind of minor and nothing big was coming of it. So I was like, well, you know, he did go back in and play the rest of the game. So, but wow, that's interesting. I hope the guy retires, man. Like, he can't keep putting himself through
that. At least it wasn't a head injury.
That's true. You know. That's true.
Like, you know, not, that's no joke. Like, all jokes aside, at least it wasn't a head injury, you know. I played him a lot last week. I had him in a few of my lineups, so I was expecting big things from him. So him going down definitely, you know, that hurt me, especially in DFS. You know, not too much, but that hurt me. Goedert going down, Deontay Johnson, those are guys that, you know, I used pretty heavily this past weekend. So, you know, you can't win them all. You just right. try to win more than you lose. all right, let's talk about some buys and some sells. Before we move on, guys, I'm going to read off a list because I think I put, you know, most of these on here. And then Justin, you put some of these on here. Nate, feel free to chime in with any thoughts on these. At the moment, I'm selling Deontay Johnson in Dynasty and Redraft. I'm a little nervous. You know, it seems like he's wearing an injury tag quite often. And I don't, you know, I like the player. You know, I think he's a very good player. But I also feel like, he's a hot name right now, and he's performing very well, and this is probably a good time to capitalize on that. You guys have any thoughts on that?
I am probably, like I said, if I own him somewhere, I'm holding on to him. I think he's too good. You know, I know the injury thing, but it's a concussion. It's not really, it's not something that, you know, is, well, you hope it's not reoccurring anyways. You know, and I think Big Ben's looking pretty good out there, and I really want to hold on to him for a while. Right. Even maybe buy him. I don't know if you could try to, you know, talk somebody into selling a little lower because of the concussion, you know, and how well Juju's playing, and the Steelers as a whole, anyways, they're playing pretty well. So I think I'm buying.
I don't disagree with either one of you. I think you're both pretty right, but I will say that if you own him and you have even an inkling of maybe there's something bad going on, then you got to sell him. Like, you don't want to have that decision weighing over you every week.
Especially, you know, if it's redraft, you know, long term, he might be fine, but concussion, you know, maybe it'll be recurring this year. It might be a good time, especially if you need a running back, you know. Kyle chimed in. What's up, fellas?
He knows what's up.
He loves your hat. Kyle chimed in. And then we also got Doug Tompkins earlier told Nate not to take that trade that I offered him on the air. And then Aussie Matt came in and said, what's up? Matt wants to know, straight up in Dynasty, Barkley or either Jonathan Taylor or Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
I'm going to go with JT, obviously, but I mean, a little bit of a homer factor there, but in my mind, I think it's kind of a no-brainer anyway, just because Barkley's kind of made of glass, and I mean, the injuries he's had are awkward, just kind of off-the-wall kind of stuff, like not stuff that you should say that he's injury-prone, but the fact that he keeps getting injured, just like you were saying about Deontay Johnson, man, it just kind of leaves that what if in the back of your mind. And I think the CEH is kind of a mirage, because I don't personally think that he's even like, as far as his metrics coming out of college, he wasn't even as good as Damian Williams. Like, I'm not going to say that he's not as good as Damian Williams.
He's better. But, he's better. I've already seen enough from him. You know, his contact balance and it's above. It's like better than good. You know, he's got elite contact balance and good vision. I like the guy. I like him.
And like I said, I'm not going to say that he's not better than Damian Williams, but on the other hand, I also don't necessarily think that he's as good as advertised. I'm not as sold as you are.
I came into the season really high on Jonathan Taylor, thinking he was going to ball behind that offensive line. So I'm a little disappointed with how he's looked down out the gate. I have it right now, Barkley, CEH, and then Jonathan Taylor, because you also have to take into account, you know, who he's got around him. And right now, Clyde comes with Mahomes, and defenses are going to have to play off. And also, he comes with Andy Reid. Some of the play calling Andy Reid, I was talking to my dad about it today. Some of those plays that Andy Reid called was, you know, very legit. Just opens everything up for everybody. Throwing it to the left tackle for a touchdown. It was very impressive. All right, so let's keep going with these buys and sells. I had a sell Keenan Allen in Dynasty. I think he's going to have a great season, but he's getting old, and this is another guy I would try to capitalize on. If I'm out of contention or if I'm on the way out of contention, I'd sell him for picks or young assets. And even if I'm in contention, if I need a player from another position and I'm strong at wide receiver, I'm shipping this cat. We agree. All right, next guy, I'm selling Gardner Minshew. I like Gardner Minshew, but I don't think he's long for Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville is I think they know that he's selling tickets right now. People are buying the Minshew buzz, but I don't know if they necessarily want him to succeed. So if I'm in a super flex league and I have two quarterbacks, he's my third, I'd ship him to a guy who needs a quarterback and try to get some picks next year, because this next year's draft class is pretty solid for quarterbacks. I'm selling Will Fuller. I'm not. That's you, Justin. Go ahead. Tell us about Will Fuller.
Yeah, so I'm selling Will Fuller for the same reasons that you're selling Deontay Johnson, I believe. Like, so he had a nice kind of semi-breakout week one on my bench, and I thought, you know what, maybe he's ready to go. So I threw him in there as a starter week two. Has a hamstring injury early on, scores 0 points, even though he finished the game. I'm thinking he's going to be playing on an injured, tweaked hamstring, and he's going to make it even worse in week three. And he comes out and scores decent points, like 11 points in week three. Plus, and that's non-PPR, so it was probably like 15 in PPR. And he was on my bench. So I'm over the guy, so I'm selling him. I don't want the headache anymore. I know that when I sell him, he's going to go to a team, he's going to explode against me and cost me a game, because that's the kind of player he is. He has become that player for me.
He's a headache. I definitely understand that. I respect that. So Will Fuller we have as a sell, and now as some buys. I'm buying Antonio Gibson. He's a guy I think is going to get better and better. I think he's going to get more opportunity, and this is probably the cheapest you're going to be able to get him for, because I think his value is just going to rise. I have him in a few leagues. I just actually sold him in a deal for Patrick Mahomes, but people have been inquiring. So he's a hot name right now. Buy him if you can. DJ Moore, that's a player I think his value is low right now because he hasn't really produced. So I'm going out and I'm trying to buy him as well, because I think he's better than his numbers. He's going to play to the back of the football card, if you've ever heard that saying before. I think he's going to average out. You know, he's better than he's looked. I'm buying Michael Thomas. He's a name that some people might be getting sick of, like Will Fuller. Even though his injury history isn't the same as him, he's sitting on the bench, and people might not like that. They want somebody to produce for them, especially if they're 1-2 and they're desperate for a W. You know, maybe ship him a guy like Will Fuller or a guy like, you know, Keenan Allen, you know, if this is dynasty, and go get yourself a younger wide receiver and then go out and produce. I'm buying Jalen Hurts. I think it's pretty simple in dynasty and redraft. I'm picking him up just because I don't think Carson Wentz is going to last. He's looked awful. He's looked very bad. His decision-making has been bad. He's a turnover machine right now. I think he leads the NFL in interceptions. And his coach came out and said just straight up, no, I'm not benching him. But the fact that he even has to say that, that should raise some alarms. So Jalen Hurts is a guy I'm buying. And Justin, you're buying David Montgomery. Go ahead.
Yes, I am. I'm going to go a little bit more in detail about it later when I talk about my one of my other segments. But with David Montgomery, it's not so much the Tariq Cohen injury, because I really don't think he's going to see a heck of a lot of a bump from that, because they're two totally different cats in that backfield. And that's just not Montgomery's skill set. I think it has a lot to do with the schedule coming up and a lot to do with the fact that they have a quarterback that has good moments now. So I'm buying David Montgomery in redraft because I think that he is now going to overperform the ADP that you drafted him at.
I like it. I like it. And then finally, Nate, you're buying Alan Lazard. So go ahead.
Yeah, I guess you'd say it's a homer pick or not, but the first 3 weeks he's been pretty impressive, even more so last week with Devontae out. I think it's pretty, it's pretty evident that he's the clear cut number two, in an offense that's firing on all cylinders right now. And I think that, he's only going to go up from there. You know, I know, John, you're a big fan coming out of college too, and, undrafted guy. And he's, like I said, it's looking pretty good so far. And I think, probably not a good time to buy him just because how well he's been playing. But, you know, I think maybe one or two down weeks that are sure to come at some point would be, a good time for it.
I like it. And now Kyle just chimed in. He wants to know, what do we feel Gurley is worth these days in Dynasty? Justin, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, here's the thing about Gurley. Like, for the last 3 years, everybody has said that his knees are going to give out on him and he's going to be injured and he's not going to produce. But he's consistently, at the very least, an RB2 every single week. And then sometimes he scores a couple touchdowns and he's an RB1. Like, I don't think that his knees are necessarily going to be what stops him. That offense in Atlanta and the fact that they never have been able to get a decent running game going, like even back with Devontae Freeman, going back in the day, they used to always still get most of their points from receiving in that offense. So, Todd, I don't know. Like, if I'm in Dynasty, I'm probably not buying him, to be honest with you, just because of that offense. And I think – maybe I might have to overpay for him, but I'd give you a second for him. And then, I mean, especially in a win now team, I would probably say a second and maybe be a small piece.
In Dynasty, I don't know if I'd sell him for a second, though. I'd probably wait for a big week. I'm not buying him currently, but if I'm selling him, I'm going to wait for a big performance from him and then try to get like somebody in the league who looks like they're going to be, you know, probably in the championship or the playoffs, who's going to have a late first and they need a running back. They need a running back too. I'm going to try to sell Gurley to that owner for a late first. And then next year, try to replace the value there. So, Justin, I think you get two sides of it. Justin said he'd buy for a second. I'm saying I'd sell for a late first. Nate, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I was thinking, if I was looking to get Gurley, like I said, if I'm a team that needs to solidify the RB2 spot or whatever, I think a second's pretty good right now. It just depends. That team is, I don't even know what's wrong with him. Hopefully the coach gets fired, maybe changes things up. But like Justin said, it's not his knees. He's consistent. He's there. They just, I don't know. Like I said, Ridley and Julio score every time.
Nate just said off with his head. Nate's out here calling for guys to lose their job.
He is there.
No sympathy. Doug Tompkins, I agree. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a stud. Reminds me a bit of Darren Sproles. I like it, Doug. I like it. Reminds me a bit of Brian Westbrook. He works well with Andy Reid there. All right, let's go on to games of the week. We're kind of dragging here. We had a lot of news early on, so we're going to speed things up. My game of the week is Pittsburgh at Tennessee. They play at 1 p.m. This was prior to the COVID news, which we haven't discussed, actually. There are three players who they haven't named yet that have tested positive, and then five members of the Tennessee staff who've tested positive. They've currently shut down Tennessee's facility until Saturday, and the game's on Sunday. The NFL has said it's at home, so that helps Tennessee. because they can at least have a walkthrough on Saturday if they open up. Nobody's sick, but they said they might move it to Monday, which would be pretty cool. You know, I think if we had two games on Monday and no one expected it. I think Minnesota, they're on watch now as well because they played Tennessee. So they're going to be shut down, I believe, as well. And excuse me if I'm wrong. But anyway, I think Pittsburgh at Tennessee is going to be a very good game. This could be, you know, I know we thought that Kansas City-Baltimore was likely a preview of the AFC Championship game. I think, like, this is another preview of this could also possibly be the AFC Championship game. I think they're a step behind both Kansas City and Baltimore, but Tennessee beat Baltimore last year. Crazier things have happened. Pittsburgh could possibly beat Kansas City. So these are two playoff teams, and I think it's going to be very fun to watch them. So, Nate, what are your games of the week?
I like the Colts at the Bears. I'm excited to watch the Bears play a real defense, see if the Colts can keep rolling from last week. They obviously played a high school team in the Jets, but doesn't matter. I'm looking forward to that game. I don't think that Nick Foles – he hasn't played a defense like that. Yeah, that Colts defense is wicked. So I'm looking forward to that one.
All right. Justin.
Wicked. I like it. I love the description of my Colts defense. They are wicked. I love it. So my game of the week, speaking of potential AFC championship bouts, not that I think that the Patriots are good enough to make it this year, but they're looking pretty tough. Like, and Bill Belichick is proving that he really is – good at what he does, as much as I hate to admit it. And I like that 4:30 time slot as well, because there aren't going to be as many other games going on to have to pay attention to. My Colts will be done after the 1 o'clock game. So I'm going to focus a lot on this game and see if that Chiefs defense made Lamar Jackson look that bad, or if Lamar Jackson is just a little bit off from last season and he just has some room to make up. Because if that's the case, Lamar bounces back, then, or if the Patriots look that bad against the Chiefs, then we just know that everybody else is playing for second place in the AFC.
And I think it's clear that Dobbins needs to be more involved in that offense. He needs to get more touches. They need to phase out Ingram, and they need to phase him in. You know, Gus even looked good. They need to add some juice there. All right, so we have a sponsor now. Nate, are you prepared for a Thrive read here, sponsor read?
No, I'm really not, actually. I saw that a little bit ago. I should have been ready, and I am not.
That's all right. I got you.
I knew Justin would take care of me.
It's not really a read. I'm just going based off of memory. So here's the thing about the Thrive Fantasy Football app. If you download the Thrive Fantasy Football app and you have not downloaded it before, in other words, you're a new subscriber to their app, then you can deposit anywhere between $20 to $50 on that app, and they will double your deposit. So you drop $50 in there, they will drop another $50. You got $100 to bet. You drop $20, they're going to drop another $20. You'll have $40 to bet. And then if you use the promo code that you see down at the bottom of your screen there, I can't reach it with my screen, but it's underneath Nate's chin there. Promo code T2T, okay?
T2T.
That's why I had to put it. I always say it too fast. T, number 2T. And then it's not case specific either. We'll get a little bit of kickback for being the connection, but really you're the big winner here, especially if you deposit the full 50. The way it works, you're going to be given about 20 different prop bets to bet for the games that weekend. You choose like 12 of them, and then you get points based on how you do with those 12. Compared to all the other people that are within the small little league that you signed up for that weekend. Just kind of like DraftKings, only it's all prop bets rather than fantasy points. You're not getting points per the yards they get or for the touchdowns that they get. It's either Nick Foles is going to be plus or minus 1.5 touchdowns, and you have to choose. If it's below 1.5, then you might get like 120 points. If it's above 1.5 that you choose, you might get 200 points, because that one's a little bit less likely to happen. But either way, whichever way you bet, you get points if you're right. Most points wins the pot at the end. So it is a lot of fun. It's different. It's unique. And you can play it in about, I think it's like 30 different states or something like that, 38 different states. So it's more than, well, definitely more than half.
All right. So that leads us into our betting segment. Nate's going to tell you about some lines that caught his eye this week and some locks. And then everybody feel free to comment in the comment section below. Any locks that you have your eyes on, anything that we should be playing. So Nate, go ahead.
And also feel free to let me have it when I don't win, because you know what, I lost with you. So it was a rough week last week. Last week, I had a couple locks. I was 0-2. Ravens -3. That was, I don't know what I was thinking there, I guess. And then Arizona -5.5. Kyler throws 3 picks. We're dead in the water. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Anyways, we're moving on to next week. Short memory, you know. So this week, there's a couple. Like I said, these are all from FanDuel. That's where I do most of my gambling. DraftKings, too. Well, pretty much anywhere. But a couple that caught my eye, I really like. Cowboys -4.5. I know Sheps doesn't like when I talk about his Cowboys. I'm not sure, you know, they've had a couple rough weeks here. Last week was rough on them. I'm hoping Dak can kind of relax a little bit and have some fun. I feel like, you know, he thinks he makes one bad play and it ruins the whole game for him. I'm not, you know, that's tough on a quarterback. And I don't think that's really the case, but that's how he feels after last week, I think. You know, could be wrong, but that's just kind of where I'm at. And I think that they can bounce back. And, you know, I said it, I think it's there in a pretty good spot. Next one, the Texans -4.5. Vikings coming to town. The Texans have played a very tough schedule to open up the first three games. I know they're 0-3, and things haven't looked very good. But, you know, they showed some promise against Pittsburgh last week, and I think Pittsburgh has probably one of the best defenses in the NFL. And, you know, they were able to drop some points on them in a hurry, too. And I think that the Vikings don't run the ball all the time. You know, I know Jefferson showed up last week, which was really fun for everybody to see. I was happy to see it. You know, and Cousins, well, on my bench in a couple leagues, did really well. But, you know, I think the Texans got them. I think that, you know, I think that they're ready to play a defense that's not quite as good as Pittsburgh or Kansas City or Baltimore. So I think that'll be, you know, a little more help for them. The next one was the Saints -4.5 at the Lions. Last week, you know, Saints – scored a bunch of points, got beat by my Packers, which was fun. But I think the Lions defense is not nearly good enough to run with the Saints. And I know the Lions beat the Cardinals last week, but that Saints defense is very good. You know, I think they're quick. They got guys on the outside that are there. It's just incredible how well they play together. So I like the Saints there for sure. And the last one is the Colts -2.5 at the Bears. Like I said earlier, I know I guess blinded or whatever with the Falcons and the Bears, and it was stupid, but I think that the Colts are a far better team than the Falcons. And I, even with Nick Foles coming in to save the day, you know, maybe Mitch needs to play like the first quarter and then Foles comes in, you know, to like do the backup thing like he always does. So we'll see how he does when he actually starts the game.
All right. And make sure everybody to let us know in the comments as well if Nate's won you some money this season. You got to give him some props in the comments. So it seems like it smells like victory. It smells like this week we're going to have some victories. All right. Now for the dudes and duds. So this week I'm going to start out with my dudes. I got Matt Stafford versus the New Orleans Saints. He had 270 yards and 2 touchdowns versus Arizona. Had Kenny G back for the first time this season and connected with him. 6 receptions, 57 yards, and a touchdown. Rodgers torched the Saints for 283 and 3 touchdowns with Lazard and a bunch of guys. All right. I think Stafford can do the same thing. I think he's going to eat this week. My next quarterback is Baker Mayfield versus the Dallas Cowboys. All you need to do is go back and watch the first two games the Cowboys have played. I'm sorry, the first three games they've played, and just look at that secondary. If you've watched that secondary play, then you should be starting any and everybody that's going to either throw the ball or catch the ball against them. So I'm going with Baker Mayfield. At running back, I'm going with Devin Singletary at the Las Vegas Raiders. Devin Singletary looked great. If you watched Buffalo this weekend, he looked very, very good. He's a running back one. His vision, anticipation, and elusiveness make watching him very enjoyable. It's a shame his performance last Saturday was overlooked due to the passing game, but he had 13 carries for 71 yards and 4 receptions for 50 yards. Burkhead and Sony Michel went off versus the Raiders, and I think Devin Singletary will be next. My next running back is James Conner at Tennessee. Dalvin Cook absolutely shredded the Titans' defense, as Conner is coming off of his best performance of the season. 18 carries, 109 yards, and a touchdown. four receptions for 40. I think running back one, James Conner, is back, and he's going to roll this week. At wide receiver, I'm starting Odell Beckham Jr. versus the Dallas Cowboys. All you need to do is go back a few seconds and listen to my description about Baker Mayfield, and that is exactly why I'm starting Odell Beckham Jr. He's going to eat. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf both shredded us, and he's going to be the next cat to do it. My next guy is wide receiver Tyler Boyd versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. Boyd is 11th in the NFL in targets heading into this game. AJ Green will draw the bulk of the attention from CJ Henderson, who's the young rookie corner out there in Jacksonville, who's probably the best guy they have. That's going to free it up for Boyd, and I think he'll benefit, and I think he'll produce. At tight end, I'm starting Noah Fant at the New York Jets. Fant tied Judy for the most receptions for Denver last week, 5 overall. Mo Alie-Cox had 50 yards and a tutty versus the Jets last week, and I think Fant is going to top that. So that does it for my dudes, and now I'm going to move on to my duds. My duds, quarterback Carson Wentz at the 49ers. Wentz looks very bad right now. I think we could be seeing Jalen Hurts soon. He doesn't have much help, but he's not making very good decisions regardless. He's tied for first in the NFL with 6 interceptions. The 49ers have only let up 2 passing TDs in 3 games while also recording 2 interceptions. Wentz is in trouble. Next, Tom Brady versus the LA Chargers. Brady is missing some zip on his ball and may also be missing Chris Godwin this week. Mike Evans was non-existent last week. I think he had 1 reception for 1 yard and a touchdown. And old Rob Gronkowski was his most targeted wide receiver. Chargers is coming off of back-to-back tough losses where they played opposing quarterbacks tough, and I think this is a good matchup for them. Running back Miles Sanders, I'm sitting this week at the 49ers. The Niners have let up about 180 yards to running backs in 3 games. It's about 60 yards a game. They are tough versus the run, but they also have young, rangy linebackers who can run with Miles in coverage, like Fred Warner. Knowing Wentz is in the threat should allow them to focus more attention on Sanders, and I think they're going to shut him down. Next, David Montgomery versus the Colts. The Colts have yet to let a running back top 65 yards on the ground and have only let up 1 rushing touchdown, and that was Dalvin Cook in week 2. A lot of people are going to be counting on a Monty breakout with the injury to Cohen. I do not believe this is the week. He will be the bell cow, but I do not think he tops 10 PPR points or 7 points standard. Wide receiver, Darius Slayton at the LA Rams. Slayton had a quiet 3 for 53 last week in a game where the Giants had no choice but to throw the football. The Rams defense is a step up from a banged up Niners defense, and if Ramsey's in Slayton's future, he's going to be held in check. Wide receiver Julian Edelman at Kansas City. After going 8 for 179 yards 2 weeks ago against the Hawks, he came back down to earth this past week, 2 receptions for 23 yards versus the Raiders. He's going up against a stout Kansas City secondary that didn't allow a wide receiver to go over 15 yards for Baltimore. So Julian Edelman's going to be in trouble. And then finally, Mike Gesicki at Miami. The Hawks have let up a total of 8 receptions for 76 yards. I'm sorry, the Dolphins have let up. Dang it, I wrote Mike Gesicki at the Dolphins. I think Mike Gesicki's going against the Seahawks. I screwed myself up here in my writing. So the Seahawks have let up a total of 8 receptions for 76 yards to the tight ends this season. Even if Jamal Adams is out, I think Gesicki is a non-factor in this ballgame. As always, after this episode, if you did not get a chance to write all that down and you don't want to go back and listen to all this, everything from betting lines to dudes and duds to the next few segments is over at fusionffb.com. You'll be able to find it all there so you can use it to help you while you are setting your lineups. Let's move over to some streamers with Justin.
All right. So kind of a rough week for me. I did hit on quite a few of them here, missed on quite a few of them, but just the big ones here from last week, Braxton Berrios. I did call that he was going to be the only wide receiver there for it. So opportunity alone made him viable. He had 16.4 PPR points, 64 yards, and the Jets only touchdown. Mo Alie-Cox, 50 yards and a touchdown. If you're trying to stream tight ends, all you can ask for is that they get a touchdown to make themselves relevant, and that's exactly what he did. But on top of that, he is averaging almost 3.5 PPR points per touch with a sloppy, juicy schedule coming up. So he may be somebody that's worth keeping on your roster for a little bit if you have the room. Miles Gaskin had 95 all-purpose yards and 5 catches. He was likely a low-end RB2 in your league, depending on format in week three, and that's a pretty solid outing for a streaming running back. If you could only imagine how well that would have been if he could have fallen into the end zone. My big misses, though, Tannehill and Gardner Minshew. Tannehill had 321 yards on 37 attempts, and Minshew had 275 yards on 42 attempts. So the process was there. The thought that they were going to throw the ball more, the thought that the opportunity was going to be there, all that was right, but they just didn't get the touchdowns. And on top of that, Minshew did what Minshew does, and that's he had a couple of turnovers as well. And this time, though, no touchdown. Usually Minshew will get you a couple touchdowns when they're coming from behind. But I should have known better, because the win-loss record will tell you that Minshew is going to be a disappointment. But maybe that's a little bit too low. I don't know. But you guys know I haven't been big on Minshew ever. But Joshua Kelly was kind of a miss. Not kind of a miss. It was a miss. I'm going to own up to that. 10 touches, 52 yards, 5.2 PPR points, because he did have the fumble as well. This was Eckler's week. He had 11 receptions from the rookie Herbert, and that tells me that they made a conscious effort to have the veteran out there as a crutch for the rookie, and it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out moving forward. Like, I mean, Eckler is definitely the better back, even though Joshua Kelly has played really well. But you can't really get Eckler going if you're only going to give him 50% of the touches. The more touches he has, the more likely he is to break one, and the more he's going to get going. And maybe that's the same for Kelly as well, but I think if you're trying to use them both, you're going to slow them both down. So just give Eckler the ball and let him do what Eckler does. So for week four, my streamers are for quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. After a rough week one against the Patriots, he has been really good. As a matter of fact, if you could just wipe week one off of the slate, his average points per game would make him a QB5 right now. So week four, he gets a pretty weakened Seahawks secondary, which John already talked about that a little bit earlier, but that was more from the Gesicki from the tight end standpoint. But from a quarterback standpoint, that Seahawks secondary is already kind of weakened, and now Jamal Adams is possibly down and out for a while, or at least for this week. I haven't really gotten the last update, but last I heard, Adams is likely going to miss some time. So I see Fitz in there as a good streaming option. And then, of course, let's try Joe Burrow again. He is currently a top 10 fantasy quarterback in nearly all formats, and he's still relatively unowned and facing a pretty weak Jacksonville defense as well. My RB, I only have one RB on the list for tonight, and that's Carlos Hyde. And like I said before, with the whole Tristan Hill incident, Chris Carson is down. They did say that there is a slight chance that he may be able to play this week, but most likely he's out for a week or two. Even if he does play, honestly, I don't see them really trying to force the issue and get him out there and risk further injury. And with the injury history that the Seahawks have, I mean, this is exactly why they brought Carlos Hyde in there, was to play this role. They don't expect Carlos Hyde to be the guy 16 games, but they do know that he has the ability to come in and play a solid game when needed. So I like Hyde in this game just strictly for pure opportunity alone. Let's see, wide receivers. I got a few wide receivers, which kind of surprised me. I don't typically have a lot of streaming wide receivers, but Preston Williams is facing the Seahawks, and if I'm going to have Fitz as a streaming quarterback, I should have one of his receiving options, and he's the only one that falls in that lesser-owned category in many leagues where he would be considered a streamer. Here's the thing about Preston Williams, though. I've said it all along. I've said it through the offseason, and he's showing that I was kind of right about this so far. His knee injury is slowing him down. That knee injury was late in the season last year, and I tried to warn everybody about that. Unless you're a superhuman freak athlete, which maybe he is, and he's just slowing up, you're not going to recover that quick and come back and play 100%. And last week he did score a touchdown. He caught one pass, and it was for a touchdown, for a 10-yard touchdown. But if you watch that play, he didn't hardly make a cut at all. It was a very shallow post slant, kind of a sloppy-looking route, to be honest with you. He didn't have to move at all. The ball was right on target. He had good position, probably didn't need to cut, so maybe that's why he didn't. But I haven't seen him make a lot of good sharp cuts that were effective. So I'm still waiting on him. But for this game, with this situation, there is a chance. So chances are, if you do own him, maybe if you're weak at the spot, you might give him a go because of that Seahawks secondary. Like, I think they're going to have to throw the ball a lot, so he may have the opportunity. Lazard, we've already mentioned him. The only reason I put him on this list is because he's still owned in less than 50% of leagues on ESPN. I think after tonight, after the waivers run tonight, that's not going to be the case anymore. So if you're listening to this tomorrow or watching this tomorrow, then you own him and you're going to start him, or you don't own him and you're not going to be able to get him. But I think you're going to be starting him probably most of the rest of the season. Randall Cobb is worthy of a stream this week. If you need a wide receiver against the 29th ranked Vikings, the Vikings are ranked 29th against wide receivers. He has increased workload and effectiveness in that offense each and every week. So every single week he's building up and becoming more and more of a key piece of that offense. So I like Randall Cobb. Let's see, tight ends. Yeah, here you go, Nate. You don't have to say that you're a homer because I'm the one calling him out. There's your boy, Bob Tonyan.
Right. I picked him up 2 weeks ago in about three leagues.
Nice.
There you go.
And sidebar note, we did finally get a good sighting of my boy Jay Sternberger. So I'm just saying. I'm not saying. Just saying.
I almost jumped off the couch when he finally caught a ball. I was so excited. I was so happy.
Me too. Like, at this point, I've already given up and dropped him in just about every league, but it would still be nice to be right. So I hope he can figure it out. Robert Tonyan has increased his role every single week. Packers need that extra target out there, especially if Davante Adams does miss any more time. But even if he doesn't, I think that the tight end is finally going to get a little bit more involved. The Falcons have given up the second most fantasy points to tight ends, so that's the real reason why I have Tonyan in this category. Plus, we already know that the Packers are going to score 28 points in the final 8 minutes to come back and win that game by 1 point against the Falcons. So that's just the way the Falcons roll. So if it's going to happen, you may as well have a piece of that offense, and he's really the only streamable option to have outside of, like I said, Lazard, who you're probably either already own or not going to be able to get anyway.
Actually, by the way, I noticed on Sleeper is good at, it says receiver and tight end. So if it matters, Bob Tonyan, he's eligible at both.
On which site?
Sleeper.
Oh, okay.
He's a real flex.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's almost a super flex.
There you go. He lined up outside more than he did at tight end this week. Anyways, most of the stuff he caught was lined up outside.
That's Taysom Hill territory.
Yeah. Let's not get ridiculous. It's just because he's going against the Falcons. He'll be back on the free agency next week.
who we got next?
Dalton Schultz. And you guys know how big I was on Blake Jarwin in the offseason. Like, I was all about that guy and heavy on him. And now Dalton Schultz is finally starting to reap some of those rewards that is left behind by Jarwin's knee injury. So, so I could imagine that Jarwin actually would have played pretty well had he stayed healthy. So I'm feeling pretty good about that call, even though it didn't work out, because there's nothing you can do about injuries. But I do feel like this could be a possible turtle head with Dalton Schultz, because of that's never going to get old, is it?
No.
But he's pretty active in this offense, and he's only going to continue to be more and more active. They face the Browns, who have struggled against tight ends all season, so I like his chances this week. Defenses. I've got the Rams and I've got the Broncos, because they are playing the Giants and they are playing the Jets. That's really all you need to know. But I will say that Daniel Jones just really has seemed to me like he's gotten worse this season than he was last season. So the Rams are really my must start here. And we'll see. I mean, the Broncos are going to be in a tough spot too, because they're starting a new quarterback this week. So maybe they need that extra boost from their defense, field position, whatever. But other guys to possible stream: Kirk Cousins, Braxton Berrios again, Hunter Renfrow, Chris Herndon. and the Cardinals defense. And before I go, I do want to mention they are not a sponsor, but I'm going to be sending this video to a local brewery to let them know that I do drink their beer. This is Quaff On. This is their pineapple flavored Indian pale ale. Oh, it's delicious. Absolutely. Sounds
phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. They've got the 6 foot blonde. They got the busted knuckle. That's right, Quaff On. I know your product. I know your product quite well. And but I'll be sending the video to you guys and letting you know what time frame to take a look at this video here and see what we can do. Because whether you're a sponsor or not, I absolutely love that brewery.
All right, Quaff On. There you have it. They're the official beverage of the Toilet Titles podcast. Before I move on to DFS, Doug Tompkins has a trade question. In standard redraft, he was offered Tom Brady, T.Y. Hilton, and N'Keal Harry for Matt Ryan, A.J. Green, and Ronald Jones. He drafted Green Jones with high hopes, but now he doesn't know. Thoughts? Personally, I like Brady. I'm sorry, I like Ryan over Brady. So that already, you know, there. Now, who do we like more, A.J. Green or T.Y. Hilton? I feel like that's a wash. You know, I kind of feel like T.Y. Hilton to A.J. Green's a wash. And then I feel like N'Keal Harry to Ronald Jones is a wash. You know, if you're playing either of those guys, you're in trouble, you know, I think. So I'm going to go with the Ryan side just because I think he's the most valuable player in this deal. What do you guys have to say?
I still think that Ronald Jones is going to slowly start to lose out to Leonard Fournette. I cannot – there's nothing in me that can possibly think that Ronald Jones is a better running back than Leonard Fournette. I can't believe that.
Right.
I got to believe that Fournette's going to slowly take over there. And then N'Keal Harry, he is Cam Newton's number one guy. Like, he is getting a huge share of his throws, so target shares wise anyway, and I got to believe that that's going to catch on too. So I think that side, I would give the edge to N'Keal myself. I agree with you about T.Y. and A.J. kind of being a wash, and give me Matt Ryan in redraft over Tom Brady any day. Godwin's hurt now with the hamstring for a couple weeks, and I mean, Brady did look good this week. He did look good, but Matt Ryan's been looking good every week. So if I need the quarterback, I'm going to go with that Matt Ryan side.
Nate, any thoughts?
Staying put with Ryan. I know Green and Jones have been a little bit of a letdown, but Matt Ryan's too good to let him go right now.
All right, now on to the DFS plays for the week. These are off of DraftKings.com. I'm starting Joe Burrow versus Jacksonville. That guy, I think they've thrown over 40 balls a game ever, you know, since the first game of the season. He's at 6,300, so I think he's going to outplay that value. I'm starting Devin Singletary at the Las Vegas Rams. I already called him a dude this week at 5,900. I think he's going to eat. And then Darrell Henderson versus the New York Jets at 5,800. Both Singletary and Henderson had great weeks last week. And then they're going against two teams that I think they should be able to get some chunk yardage against. And if Singletary can get into the end zone, that's a plus, because last week he got close a few times. So hopefully this week they let him get in there. At wide receiver, I'm starting Tyler Boyd versus Jacksonville. Again, I had him as a dude earlier, 6,100. I think he should see a fair share of the targets this game with Joe Burrow slinging that rock. A.J. Green, like I said, is going to line up against C.J. Henderson, so that should open it up for Boyd. Odell Beckham Jr. at Dallas for 5,800. That is stealing. He's probably going to have 6 or 7 receptions. He's going to top 100 yards. So I think right there, that's value. Tight end Mo Alie-Cox. Justin listed him as a streamer. He's going against the Chicago Bears, and I think he topped 50 yards the last 2 weeks. So Phillip Rivers is finding his Antonio Gates, and I think he is going to make it worth it at 3,900. That is not bad at all. And then for the defenses, I'm starting the Bucks versus the LA Chargers for 3,400. They got a young defense, young offense. Todd Bowles knows what he's doing. He's got Antoine Winfield, Devin White, all those cats running around and wreaking havoc. And I think they're going to wreak havoc on the LA Chargers. So that's the defense I'm starting. Right now, I've cashed in 8 of 21 games, and my yearly win total is at 3,315. So I'm hoping to keep this thing rolling. And the final segment for the evening is our players that are about to break out, aka Turtleheads, with Justin. Justin, go ahead.
All right, so I got to find my tab here because I had to throw in that 33-15 at the last minute. All right, here we go. So my turtle heads for the week. I gotta run my quick victory lap because I thought it was gonna take another week or two, but Trubisky did not let me down. Last week I called that Trubisky was gonna be pulled pretty soon and that Nick Foles was gonna be the starter. But and the only reason I gotta really push it out there though is because of our boy Ben from the Frankenstank League, who I know does watch these episodes and listens to the show. He said that I was delusional for thinking that Foles was going to take over for Trubisky. So if that's the case, I hope that I'm this delusional every week. Also, I'm not gonna say that Devontae Freeman was a bust last week because with turtle heads, like I said, you're planning ahead of time. I still think that Devontae Freeman's gonna be the main guy in that offense here in a couple weeks. I'm not saying he's gonna be anybody big, but if you went out and picked him up, you got him for free, and you're gonna have every now and again flex spot on bye weeks. It's not a bad pickup, so I'm still standing by that one. Week four, my turtle heads. It might be a little too late for Kyle Allen, but it might not be. Haskins has been playing like crap, so maybe somebody in your league has noticed that and they went out and gotten Kyle Allen. Personally, I would really love to see that Alex Smith opportunity to complete his comeback. But for now, Allen is listed as the QB2, and Alex Smith has been inactive every week, I believe, on the roster. So, but in my mind, Haskins, his accuracy and decision-making are comparable to Trubisky, Rivers, and Minshew. Like, that's how bad I feel about the way Haskins is playing right now. He's not making smart decisions, not making good throws. He's going to be benched soon. So Kyle Allen is the guy to get there for free right now if you're desperate in two quarterback leagues. All right. I'm going to talk about David Montgomery here, and it's not normal for me to talk about a guy that's rostered in the majority of leagues as a turtle head, but there's a reason behind it. I think that David Montgomery is the guy to buy. Just like I said earlier when I said I am buying him in redrafts. Now I'm going to kind of back it up a little bit and say that I'm willing to make him my turtle head. I think that he's going to be a high-end RB2 for the rest of the season with some decent RB1 weeks from time to time. And that's with knowing that he is not built to be an explosive back. Okay. That's with knowing that he is not designed to be the receiving back. It goes against everything that you would believe a good RB1 would be, or even a high-end RB2. But the opportunity is going to be insane for him, and the schedule is unreal. We're kind of pushed for time. I'm not going to go in too deep with all that, but I will say that out of about 40 out of about 260 people that I was able to poll in multiple different formats and Twitter and all that said that they believe that Montgomery is worse than an RB2. So there's still that many people out there that do not believe in him. And I would venture to say that some of them are probably people that drafted him that are upset with his performance so far. And maybe they think that Foles is going to come in and run that offense better, and that might actually affect how much they even utilize him and run the ball with him, which in my mind, I think Foles being there will help that offense continue to grow a little bit better, a little bit more efficiently, and it'll help his opportunity to get in the end zone more. So that's going to help with him being my turtle head as well. So Monty's been kind of all over the place in the last 3 weeks. One really bad game against Atlanta this week. And again, Trubisky put them in a negative game script early on. They had to throw the ball all day to get back into the game. I don't see that being the case too often moving forward since the schedule for the Bears is very RB friendly. And Foles, like I said, has the ability to play good from time to time. He had an average game against Detroit in week one, where he saw his least amount of touches this season with 14. Coincidentally, it was also Cohen's most active game in this short season with 9 touches. This also will not be a problem for him moving forward with Cohen out for the season. Some of those touches will likely go to Cordarrelle Patterson in my mind, and maybe even Ryan Nall, who only has 1 touch in the first 3 games. He might even get a touch or two from time to time. But most of Cohen's touches still are at least likely to go to Monty because there's no other real options there. So, so even if it just adds a couple extra touches, it adds a couple extra opportunities. And with Monty, the more opportunities, the better he rolls. He needs more touches to get going. He's just always been that kind of back. He also had one good game against the Giants. This was also a game that he had 19 touches, his season high. So that's what I was talking about. He's not explosive. He needs those touches to be relevant. He'll start getting those touches. Now, real quick, I want to touch on this schedule. Week four, this week, he plays Indianapolis. They're fifth against the run, and we've already talked about how they are wicked, right? Wasn't that the adjective that we used?
Yes, it was.
They are wicked, okay? So now's the time to try to trade to get him because you're going to tell that owner, dude, look at what the Colts have done to these running backs. They're good. He sucks. I want him for depth, or I want him to cover for this bye week. Make up something, okay? Figure it out. Get Montgomery on your team because after that, week five, Tampa Bay, 27th against the run. Carolina, dead last. The Rams, 23rd. New Orleans is the best team against the run that they have left on their schedule, and they're 13th against the run. Let's go back to the bottom half of the league. And Tennessee is 19th against the run. Minnesota, 22nd. His bye in week 11. Green Bay, 23rd. Detroit, 30th. Let's start off with the playoffs now, the fantasy football playoffs. Houston, 26th against the run. Minnesota, 22nd against the run. Oh, and then and then Jacksonville, 18th against the run. And he's you're probably going to be able to get him cheap enough that he's your RB3, which means he's your flex guy who's going to have RB2 numbers. So I know that that's an awful long-winded way of saying that I am in love with David Montgomery moving forward because of his price. But he's my turtle head, and I'm sticking to it.
I love it. I love it. Some David Montgomery press. He really needs that right now. All right, we're wrapping this thing up. We are about done. Justin, can you just give them some more info on Thrive before we head out so they know what they can do and how they can do it?
Absolutely. Just don't forget that that promo code. That's the important thing. You download the Thrive Fantasy Football app. If you're a new person to the app, you deposit some money, anywhere between $20 to $50. They'll double it. And make sure you use that promo code underneath Nate's chin, T2T.
That's all right.
The titles.
And also make sure you hit the like button, you hit the subscribe button, and you throw some comments down here. You know, let us know what you're thinking, where we're wrong, where we're right. Guys that you're buying, guys that you're selling, guys that you're playing in DFS. This is one big community. You throw that into the comment section. That's not only something that could possibly help us, it could help anybody who's looking at it. You know what I mean? Let's all help each other. Let's win some money. Let's win some games. You can find us all on Twitter. I am on Twitter at Coach Sheps. Justin's at JustinFF_. Nate's at Nate_Dirt19. And the show's at Toilets2Titles. And what's Finn's Twitter handle going to be, Nate?
I haven't decided yet. I got to wait till he's like, I don't know, 4 or 5 till we probably get him on the Twitter machine.
All right, cool. Oh, cool. Finn is the name of Nate's soon-to-be-born son. So hopefully by next episode, we're going to hear some cries in the background, and Nate's going to have to pop up a few times. What's that?
He's just sleeping. No
crying. We got to be real. We're realists on this show.
I got a good dad parenting tip for you. Just give him some Benadryl before the show.
Yeah, there you go. Just drug him up and put him to sleep. All right, we're wrapping this thing up. Justin, what do you got to say to everybody?
Hey, same thing I always say. I will say, too, that I will be interested to see how our ratings do compared for tonight's show to the presidential debate that's going on tonight.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. But regardless of all that crap that's going on and how much everybody hates each other right now because of the elections, just love each other, guys. We're all in this together.
And Nate, what do you got to say?
Thanks for listening, everybody. Make it a profitable one, and keep staying positive and testing negative.
All right, everybody. We will catch you later this week on the Twitters, and we'll talk to you next week.